Ever imagine turning like a small amount of money, a modest sum, into a life-changing fortune? And I mean, practically overnight. Well, today's deep dive, we're going to throw open the vault on that fantasy, but, and there's always a but, right? We're also going to look at the harsh reality that sometimes comes along with it.
And it can be a harsh reality.
We're digging into the story of Christopher DeVolch. He's a Canadian carpenter, and get this. He rode the Tesla wave, turning $88,000, get ready for it, into an incredible $306 million.
Yeah, you heard that right. $306
But
million.
then he lost it all.
Every penny.
So get ready for a wild ride. We're taking you through the world of high-stakes trading, the allure of options, and this is key, the importance of not putting all your eggs in one basket. Especially when that basket is, well, a very volatile electric-powered one.
Right, because what's captivating about DeVault's story, at least for me, is that it really highlights both the incredible opportunities, but also the equally incredible risks that are tied to leverage. And that's especially true in a market like we've seen recently, one known for these wild swings.
So let's rewind. Picture Vancouver Island, beautiful place. DeVolch's there, a carpenter by trade, and he starts exploring the world of day trading in his spare time.
As one does.
Exactly. And his stock of choice, Tesla. But hold on, because here's where it gets interesting. DeVolch wasn't just, casually buying shares and holding on for dear life. This is where options come in.
Yeah, you see, options trading, it can be a bit like, how do I put this? It's like high-octane fuel for your portfolio.
I like that. High octane.
They essentially give you the ability to control a large chunk of stock, but with a relatively small amount of capital.
Yeah.
And it's this leverage, this ability to amplify your buying power that allows for those, eye-popping returns that everyone dreams about. There's always a but.
You got it. The flip side is that if things go south, those losses, yeah, they can balloon just as quickly as those gains.
Faster, even.
And boy, did DeVolch experience those eye-popping returns initially. We're talking turning, get this, roughly $88,000 into a mind-boggling C$415 million. That's about US $306 million in just over 2 years. It's almost unfathomable, right? The kind of money that makes you like pinch yourself, you
It's
know?
the kind of money that makes you question if you're dreaming, but it's also the kind of money that can disappear just as quickly as it appeared.
And disappear it did. But before we get into that, let's break down how options actually played a role in DeVolch's initial, almost unbelievable success.
Right, because options trading, it's not about directly buying the shares themselves. It's about buying the right to buy or sell those shares at a specific price by a certain date. So imagine this. DeVolch uses a relatively small amount of capital, but he's controlling a large number of Tesla call options. He's essentially betting on the stock price to go up. And what happens? Tesla surges. And as it surges, his potential gains, they're magnified because those options give him the right to purchase shares at a price way lower than what the market's valuing them at.
Okay, so it's like having a golden ticket that lets you buy Tesla at a discount,
Right.
and then boom, the price skyrockets and your golden ticket is suddenly worth a fortune.
Precisely.
But, and I feel like I'm repeating myself here, but this level of leverage, this high octane fuel, it cuts both ways.
It's a double-edged sword, no doubt about it. While leverage can be a trader's best friend during a bull market, it can turn on you in an instant. And unfortunately for DeVolch, the year 2022, well, let's just say it brought a change in tides for Tesla.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. So we've got DeVolch, right? He's riding high on his Tesla trades, raking in those profits, living the dream, right? The kind of money most people only, fantasize about. But here's the thing, and I think we all know this deep down. In the world of investing, nothing lasts forever, does it?
It's true. And it's especially true when you're playing with leverage, Remember that whole high-octane fuel analogy from
Oh
earlier?
yeah, I like that one.
Well, in 2022, things went from, exhilarating, like you're cruising down the highway, to, let's just say, downright terrifying. Like you're
Wow.
suddenly heading straight for a brick wall. Tesla's stock, I mean, don't get me wrong, it was still a powerhouse overall, but it started to experience these pretty significant dips. And when you're leveraged to the max, like DeVolch was, those dips, they don't feel like little bumps in the road anymore.
You feel like what, like you're falling off a cliff?
Pretty much. And to make matters even worse for DeVolch, he was using, and this is where it gets a little complicated, something called a margin account.
Ah, margin accounts. It's
Yeah.
like they sound so innocent, so, I don't know, official, but they can be a bit of a trap, can't they?
They absolutely can. I mean, at their core, a margin account, it's basically like taking out a loan. You're borrowing money from your brokerage, in Devok's case, that was RBC, to supercharge your buying power. So let's say, just as an example, you've got $50,000 sitting in your account, but you want to make a big play, right? You want to invest $100,000 in Tesla because you're convinced it's going to the moon. Well, the brokerage, they'll front you that extra $50,000, no problem. But, and there's always a but, isn't there?
There always is, unfortunately. It's like the fine print nobody bothers to read until it's too late.
Exactly. They're not just being generous, right? They want to make sure they're going to get their money back with interest.
Right.
So they set what's called a margin requirement. Think of it like a safety net for the brokerage. You need to maintain a certain percentage of your investment's value in actual cash or assets in your account at all times. If the value of your investments drops below that requirement, because, you know, maybe Tesla decides to take a temporary nosedive.
Which, let's be honest, happens even to the best of them.
All the time. Well, when that happens, that's when the dreaded margin call rears its ugly head.
It's like the two scariest words in investing.
Right up there with market crash. But yeah, it's basically the brokerage tapping you on the shoulder, maybe not so gently, and saying, hey, remember that loan we gave you? We need more money to cover it, and we need it now. They give you a very, and I mean very short window to either deposit more cash, like sell something else and free up some funds, or deposit more securities, like, I don't know, maybe some bonds you have lying around. You've got to cover that shortfall. Or guess what? They have the right to sell off some or even all of your investments to recoup their money. And here's the kicker. They don't really care if you're losing money on the sale. They just want their money back.
It's brutal. So not only were Devok's Tesla options losing value, right, because the stock price was dropping, but now, on top of that, he's also getting slammed with these margin calls, forcing him to potentially sell those positions at a loss just to satisfy the brokerage. It's like, what do they call it in boxing? A 1-2 punch.
Yep.
A knockout punch, more like. It's a classic example of how leverage, while it can be amazing when things are going your way, it magnifies both gains and losses. And unfortunately, Devok's story, well, it doesn't end there.
Oh, no, I'm getting nervous already. What did he do?
Well, it seems like he decided to, how do I put this? He doubled down, maybe in a desperate attempt to, you know, claw his way back from those mounting losses. Reports indicate he borrowed a massive amount of money, like we're talking, see, $20 million from his own corporation.
Wait, he borrowed against his company to try and cover his personal trading losses. That's bold.
Very bold. And let's be honest, it's a move that often ends badly. It's incredibly difficult, even for the most seasoned professional investors, to time the market perfectly, especially when you're talking about the short term. You might get lucky once or twice, but over the long haul, it's a recipe for disaster.
And disaster, well, that's what Devok found, isn't it?
Unfortunately, yes. His attempts to dig himself out of that hole, they backfired. Those short-term trades, they led to even more financial pain.
It's tough. You almost have to feel for the guy. But then again,
it's a cautionary tale, though, isn't it? It's a reminder that even with the most promising investments, I mean, Tesla's done amazingly well for a lot of people. Understanding risk and diversification, those are absolutely critical.
You can't just put all your eggs in one basket, no matter how much you believe in that basket.
Exactly. But you know what? There's another layer to this whole story, a layer that I think raises some really important questions about the role of Devok's financial advisors, the people he trusted to guide him.
Okay. So we're about to go deeper. We're going to dive into the heart of the lawsuit that Devok has filed against RBC and Grant Thornton. We're going to untangle this whole thing about financial advice, risk tolerance, and what kind of duty advisors owe to their clients, especially clients like Devok. Stay with us. All right, so we're back, and things are about to get, well, let's just say a little more serious. We've talked about the highs and lows, the millions made and lost, but now we're stepping into a different arena, right? The courtroom. Devok, remember our carpenter turned Tesla trader. He's suing his financial advisors.
It's not just one advisor either. We're talking RBC Dominion Securities, RBC Wealth Management, and even the accounting firm Grant Thornton LLP. They're all named in the lawsuit.
Wow. Okay, so this isn't just like a small claims court kind of thing. This is the big leagues.
This is serious business. And you know what? This lawsuit, it's not just about one man's losses, as substantial as they were. This case, it really shines a light on, well, on some of the murky waters of financial advice, risk tolerance, and the responsibilities that advisors have to their clients.
Because, let's be real, there's a lot at stake here, right? People are trusting these advisors with their life savings, their futures. So what's Devok's argument? What's the basis of his claim?
At its core, Devok's claim hinges on the idea that he was, and I'm just going to come right out and say it, in over his head. He argues that his advisors, while they were very focused on minimizing his tax liabilities, which, hey, that's important, don't get me wrong.
Sure, nobody wants to pay more taxes than they have to.
Exactly. But DeVoch claims they kind of missed or maybe just didn't adequately consider his limited knowledge of the financial world. Remember, this is a carpenter who started dabbling in day trading. He's not some Wall Street hotshot.
Right, a completely different world.
Night and day. And this is a critical point because financial advisors, they have this legal and, I'd argue, ethical obligation to act in their clients' best interests. And that means truly understanding their clients' financial goals, their comfort level with risk, and yes, their level of financial literacy.
So it's about finding that balance, right? Between like chasing those potential gains, but also managing those potential downsides and making sure your client understands the difference.
Exactly. And DeVoch's saying that balance was off, way off from the very beginning. He alleges that his advisors, particularly when they recommended he incorporate a company to manage his investments.
Which, just to clarify, a lot of people do that, right? Incorporate to, like you said earlier, potentially reduce those tax burdens.
It's a common strategy for sure, but it can be risky. And DeVoch's arguing that in his case, it backfired spectacularly.
Because
he claims that by setting up this structure, he felt compelled, almost pressured, to keep the majority of his assets in Tesla to maintain those tax benefits.
So even when things started to get a little shaky with Tesla's stock price, he felt stuck.
That seems to be his argument. He felt trapped by the advice he was given, even when it became clear that, you know, maybe having all your eggs in one basket, even a very shiny electric-powered basket, wasn't the best strategy.
It's a tough situation. And, you know, it raises some really important questions about, like you were saying earlier, that balance between the advisor's advice and the client's own responsibility.
Absolutely. I mean, it's crucial to have trust in your financial advisors, but you also have to remember that you are ultimately responsible for your own financial well-being.
So what's the takeaway for our listeners? What can we learn from DeVoch's story, regardless of how the lawsuit actually plays out?
I think the biggest takeaway here is the importance of knowledge. Whether you're a seasoned investor with a portfolio full of options or you're just starting out, do your research, ask questions, challenge those assumptions, and never, ever be afraid to advocate for your own financial interests.
Because at the end of the day, it's your money, your future. That's a wrap on this deep dive, everyone. Remember, knowledge is power. And as always, thanks for listening.